Jupiter Broadcasting presents this show in mega stereo sound. This episode of the Linux Action Show brought to you in part by GoDaddy.com. Use the promo code Linux and save yourself some cash. And of course, from donations of people that are... It's like people get donated, you know? And it's free. It's free. It's tax. It's tax exempt.
No, it's not.
No. When you donate people, it is. It's
when you donate people.
Right. But you can't, Chris, you can't put a worth on a person.
This week on the Linux Action Show. The Linux Action Show is climbing a mountain. Why are we climbing a mountain? Because KDE 4.6 is here. We review. Then the numbers for 2010 are in, and they show that Linux professionals are worth a premium. Plus so much more, all this week on the Linux Action Show. And welcome to Linux Action Show, Season 15, Episode 4. My name is Brian. With me is Chris.
Hey there, Brian. Check out this slick ZT Systems server that runs Linux.
I love a good 1U rack.
You do love a good 1U, don't you, Brian?
I could have like a million 1U-sized racks. Just all over my house.
Let me tell you,
I would like
cool
to build
this.
Furniture about 1U racks. Go back to the picture of that.
You could.
Show picture people that. See how flexible that is? It's like the Lego building blocks of computers.
Oh, yeah.
Everything should be in 1U racks. What you should do, here's what I'm saying.
Okay.
Here. You know, people used to, when people had desktops in the old days, they were really big Hurricane desktops.
Back in the early days?
Nobody has that anymore. They get little towers or slim lines or whatever. That's crap. That's garbage.
Yeah.
I used to have this big Hurricane monolith.
Look at that dude over there. That dude's a big dude.
Well, that's a big dude, but mine was bigger.
bigger than that dude.
Mine was about yay big. Solid gray steel, right? The switch on the side was red and about
those.
2 inches wide. And in order to turn on, you go, cha-chunk, and it was awesome.
Yes.
Now, it was huge, and it sat right on top of the desk because there was nothing in the house large enough to accommodate the space. Desks were built for these huge, wide things. Now, what I would love is a case like that could fit, say, maybe 3 or 4 1U units.
Right?
Right on top of your desk. You put your monitor on top of it.
Right?
You slide those 1U racks right on in. That would be awesome.
And here's why it's totally practical, because this whole thing, with its 16 processor cores, each running at 600 megahertz, only pulls 80 watts.
No way.
Yeah, way.
That's ridiculous.
ARM processors.
These lights pull more than that.
I know. Six... 16 processors.
Ridiculous.
Or they're 16 cores, and they're each running at 600 megahertz. You can put SSDs in this. You can put SATA drives in
this. Yeah, I can.
This would make a really great home server. Now, unfortunately, there's no price or availability yet.
What? Who's selling this thing?
They're called ZX, I think, or ZT Systems. Yeah. And
all right, ZT Systems. We would love 4 review units in a single desktop.
Yeah.
4U style case that we can slide all those little 1U racks into. Send it on over to us, and I can guarantee that we will talk about it.
While you guys are at it, if you can integrate that desk with a KVM and a gigabit switch in the back,
dude,
so it's all
right?
integrated into the desk,
right?
And power integrated into you have one power cord for the whole desk.
Also, I want one of those big red switches. I want it to go cha-chank to turn the whole
and
thing on.
And give me the option to also have a built-in, I could add it on, cost extra, I don't care, a built-in UPS. You know, so I don't have to have a separate standalone. Just build the battery system.
You send the rest of it to us for review. We will pay for the UPS part.
Yeah, that's totally
deal,
fair.
Right?
Yeah, just make it all ready to be hooked up.
No, this actually does look really sick. How many processors?
16, dude.
16 ARM processors?
Yeah.
Man, that makes me want to buy a domain name from GoDaddy.com. If you can go to GoDaddy.com right now, just go ahead, pause the show, go to GoDaddy.com, load up, what's a good web browser to go to GoDaddy.com?
I like Chrome.
Huh.
Yeah.
Huh.
Chrome. Chromium, actually.
I say use Lynx. I say the little LYNX, the old school
terminal
based.
How about Reconk?
No one uses Reconk.
I'm using Reconk right now.
You're not using Reconk.
I'm using Reconk right here.
Look at that.
That's me.
Holy moly.
Right?
You're a Reconk fool.
That's me and Reconk on JupiterBroadcasting.com.
That is fantastic. You could actually register JupiterBroadcasting.com
over at GoDaddy.com
if we hadn't already done that. And you could just type in Linux, save 10%. Linux 20, save 20% off of hosting
Awesome. Do that. GoDaddy.com. Danica Patrick.
Danica Patrick, Chris, at GoDaddy.com.
Go over Danica Patrick.
I like that, Brian. I like that quite a bit.
Danica Patrick. GoDaddy.com.
Thank you, GoDaddy.com, for sponsoring the Linux Action Show.
Use our code Linux.
Yes. You know what I came across, and I hope I put it in this episode?
No.
A long time ago. I mean, like a long time ago.
Yeah.
We were in your living room, and we had the mic set up. I think we were in your living room, and we were naked.
Probably. People are amazed at how often we do the show naked.
We had a whole naked conversation before the show on the live stream.
When he says we had a naked conversation, we were talking about nakedness. Not that we were naked having a conversation. No, Let's just be clear on this.
So anyways, we were in...
Brian wears layers. We know this to be true. Yeah. I got a shirt on. I have to have another thing over the top of this blazer here just to feel comfortable. Yeah. So I'm not cozy getting in here with Chris naked. I'm just not okay with it.
We were in your office or your living room, and we recorded a bunch of these, GoDaddy.com sponsors the Action Show, and you know, so do listeners like you and stuff like that. I found a bunch of the old ones that you screwed up.
Did you really?
Yeah, they're great.
I'm glad we saved everything.
So yeah, I think we should use a few of them because they're really good. So
are they?
Yeah, yeah. So all we'll see. Keep an ear out for that, audience.
Why the hell?
Oh, and while we're at the top of the show, before we forget, just a heads up about next Sunday.
Oh yes, we probably won't be here. Now there may be a show. If there is a show, who knows? But it'll be like a short show.
Yeah, it's not small.
And that's even if there is one. I mean, let's be real. So we got multiple things going on. We got Super Bowl.
Yep.
Super Bowl is going on.
Super Bowl's going on.
Also, I'm having a baby this week. So
that's going on.
I'm making child. So
you'll probably be busy next weekend.
I might be a little busy.
Oh,
so my wife's going in, and I don't even know what's going to be happening.
No.
Like, come next Sunday, I don't know if I'll be home yet. I don't know what. So
that's
so no
the way
show.
That works.
I'm going to be focusing on wife and baby, having a little girl.
Yeah,
kind of exciting.
That is exciting.
Got the nursery all kicking butt.
Are you gonna tweet out and stuff so people are interested? Or are you gonna let people know when the
tweet out?
Well, you know, whatever you need to do to let people know that the kid has arrived. People want to know.
I'll let people know.
Yeah,
I'll let people know somehow. Post a picture somewhere. Be like, that's my baby.
There you go.
Yeah, of course I will.
All right, I want to tell you about my Android pick. Are you ready, Brian Man? You ready for this sucker?
Yeah, I'm ready.
Okay. Well, this is an exciting pick because it's not just an Android pick. Because this week, we announced the Jupiter Broadcasting live audio stream over at jupiterbroadcasting.com/listen. So that's cool.
Good URL.
Yeah,
I love it.
Right? So, and you can go there on your smartphone now. iPhone users, they just have QuickTime built into Safari, and it'll just play the MP3 stream no problem.
Yep.
Android users, though, I got a pick for you. So I want to tell you, first of all, go over to jupiterbroadcasting.com/listen after you
and
get
this app
installed.
And you can do it on your desktop, too.
Oh, yeah, totally. It'll stream in DLC
or whatever.
It's like
whatever. The most simple-looking web page created.
Yeah,
if you see the video version now, it is ridiculous simple
it is. Looking
it
on my Android phone.
It literally just says the text, stream audio live. It doesn't even say who we are.
We've already got...
it doesn't even say what you're going to stream.
Well, I figured
you're going to
slash listen, but we got a couple of folks that have offered to help us pretty it up. We will. But the main goal was to make it bandwidth-friendly. Because I want you to head over to our show notes and grab the link in there for Stream Furious. Stream Furious, right?
Yeah.
Is just that. It lets you stream audio streams, and it'll associate with playlist files and things like that.
Nice.
So you get that loaded up on your Android phone, and that's Stream Furious in the marketplace. Totally
like
free.
Save it so like it knows. So you can just go right back to that instead of going to the listen page.
Yeah, check this out. Check this out. It's really handy. So over here on my, if I click on the MP3 stream, because it opens up Stream Furious and adds Jupiter Broadcasting right to the top of the station's playlist now. So from now on, I just go back into Stream Furious and Jupiter Broadcasting is just right there at the top.
Now, are we streaming right now for this?
Yeah. Yeah, we're always live from now on.
That's fantastic.
So, you know, usually what we do is we have some live stream events going during the day. On Mondays after Linux Action Show comes out, it's all the old episodes of Linux Action Show are on the reruns all day.
Yeah.
On Tuesdays, it's generally Stoked all day because that's when Stoked comes out. Wednesdays is generally the best of our recent shows. Thursdays tends to be Jupiter at Night. I mean, we have like days.
That's awesome.
Sundays after.
That's awesome.
Yeah, and Sundays you could listen to live on the Linux Action Show or, you know, heck, you could tune in after Linux Action Show if you miss it, and we generally run old Computer Chronicles episodes, and that's also on the live
stream. You gotta love that.
So, and Stream Furious here is really nice. It does some buffering there, and
usually what we do is we have some live. That was us just like a minute ago.
Isn't that neat?
That's right. Just like a moment ago, that was that.
So that's Stream Furious, awesome. And go over to jupiterbroadcasting.com/listen, and you can use anything that can stream audio streams to check that out.
I love that.
Right?
That's awesome.
Pretty cool. All right, Brian, let's do the news.
What's new in the news this week?
All right, Brian. Our top story on the news docket for this week is a good one.
Is it?
Linux is it good? IT experts are drawing a premium in the job market.
Dude, they have been for years, though.
I know. But there's actually some pretty solid data now from just even in 2010.
Nice.
And it's if you read the overall article, it's kind of less than great news for the overall IT job market. But yeah, the overall silver lining of it is that skills in the open source area field are in particular demand still. And this is according to Dice.com, who's seen a dramatic increase in hirings and people requesting Linux Action Show jobs, Brian.
Linux Action Show jobs?
Yeah.
Yeah. Jobs for people with experience watching the Linux Action Show are going up.
But Intel's noticed this trend as well. Yeah. And so Intel's Linux and open source technologist, Dirk Hondel.
Nice name.
Thank you. I thought so as well.
You're welcome, Chris.
He's chimed in and said, more and more devices and systems and services are built and based on Linux, and therefore, more and more manufacturers and vendors are looking for the talent. Well, surprise, surprise.
Duh.
But it's kind of cool to see, you know, people from Intel, people from Dice.com. There's
I like the therefore he threw in. Made it sound very official.
Therefore, as I foresee it, yeah, it's logical.
Heretofore, yeah. What?
Yeah, I know. He says that Linux... Oh, this is Dice going on. So back to Dice. They say that Linux professionals also tend to get a significant salary premium,
yep,
as much as 10% over other IT workers, according to Dice.
Dude, it's true, man.
I agree.
It's totally true. I mean, I've worked on the Windows side of things. I've worked on the Mac side of things. I've worked on the Linux side of things. Yeah. And it's actually been pretty consistent.
Yeah.
Linux side of things has always paid better.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. And because the Windows side of things, Microsoft took that whole approach and flooded the market with the MCPs and all those types of things.
You know what I've noticed? So if you're like an independent software consultant, like you're the kind of guy who you make software for a living, like, you know, a company will come to you and they're like, I want to make a new version of a Notepad type app. And you're like, okay, well, I can do that. And you start making bids and you're like, okay, you'll pay me to do that. If you're doing it for Windows, it's pretty okay money. If you're doing it for Mac, they want to pay you $5. They really want you to do it for $5, and they get mad at you if you don't also supply like a huge giant icon and make it Aqualicious or whatever.
How did this turn into Mac bashing?
And
already?
then if you do it on the Linux side of things, you get paid more than the Windows side of things.
Well, I guess it's more of a specialty.
Phenomenal. It's more of a I think that's all it is.
Because the Windows market is so large, and there's so many people out there that have been trained on it.
But you still do pretty well on the Windows side. But the Mac side, you don't make any money.
Yeah.
Not anymore, anyway.
Well,
I mean, it used to be pretty decent, but the Linux side, geez, it's awesome.
Just use open source.
Even in my experience, and this may seem crazy to some people, like GTK apps. Like, you want to make a GTK app for a company, there aren't necessarily as many companies looking for that.
Yeah.
But when they do, they pay well. It's great.
It's got to be the specialty of it, right?
It's got to be. But either way, for us, it's awesome.
Doesn't that mean, though, that as
it grows?
Yeah.
Well, here's the thing. If the market size of, say, desktop Linux grows,
right,
the need for those apps grows along with it.
So
now, in order for it to make it so that we'll start earning less, the amount of people that are specializing in that market has to grow faster.
Right.
Which right now, it's not.
Yeah. Interesting.
Yeah. It's awesome.
I like. All right. I want to talk about something I'm really excited about as an Android user, despite some of the, you know, things that we said about Google recently. I'm using Chrome right now, and I'm still an Android fan. I don't hate them. But Sony has announced that the PlayStation Suite for Android Gaming Store for Gingerbread devices will be arriving.
That's cool.
This is what that was a lot of headline, because it's a couple of different things that Sony's doing.
Yeah.
First up, the thing you're going to see first as an end user is, and this is one part what Sony has said, two parts what Chris went out and read, what every single person has written about this and has put together in his brain.
So we have no idea if this is accurate.
It's as accurate as Mr. Spock calculating slingshotting around from the sun from memory in Star Trek 4, Brian.
Dude, and he did that.
Right?
Yeah.
So
this has got to be accurate.
Thank you.
Anecdote taken.
Thank you. Now, looks like is the first thing you're going to see roll out on Android devices, Gingerbread only, is a Sony software store. Like a whole Sony store of crap.
Right.
And it's just going to be crap. But then the next...
Wait, why do you know it's going to be crap?
Because the first product, it looks like they're going to launch a store before their first actual software product's in there. So what's going to be in there then?
Well, that's what Canonical did. They launched the Ubuntu soft... Well, come on, that's cool. I mean, you got to get it out there.
Yeah, okay.
You got to get a store out there. So it's not that it's not full of It's not that it's full of crap. It's just that it doesn't have a lot of stuff in
right,
it.
Right, right. So
but that's cool.
But guess what it is going to get quickly? And this is what I'm excited about. A PlayStation 1 Classics emulator in the Android store.
That's cool.
It's not going to be hardware device locked. It's just going to be you need Gingerbread. You can get it on any Android, theoretically, so far.
I wonder how the controls are going to be.
Well, so have you seen the Sony Xperia? It's going that's going to be their premier device.
And then the rest of them maybe have some like touch screen
controls. They're going to have on-screen controls, okay. Yeah. So the software is going to be able to detect that. So interesting enough, and then after that, they're going to come out with that Xperia device with more and more and more games on there. They've already shown a bunch of the games on there. There are, some less than legit PlayStation emulators you can get now.
Sure.
So it's not too surprising that they're going to be able to pull this off. They don't go into what I was looking for. What is it about Gingerbread? Why Gingerbread? Why not Froyo?
I don't know. It could just be that they want to make sure they want to have a certain class of devices.
That's what I was thinking.
And if you just say, oh, okay, Gingerbread, the device will be peppy enough.
Or some sort of multimedia support that Gingerbread probably got added.
Yeah, maybe. Because there's plenty of stuff in the current API for Android to pull this off. But then you have to worry about, we support this device, but not that device, but not this device. And then we do support that device. Just say Gingerbread and we just like anything that's Gingerbread.
Yep. Yeah.
That's a way easier way to go.
Yeah.
Then Sony can be lazier, and that's better.
This could be huge for Android.
It could be huge.
Because they're kind of, they've got Angry Birds, they've got Fruit Ninja, they've got some of those.
The gaming market on Android really is kind of lackluster.
Yeah.
There's a couple of cool titles, but if they get, say 100 PS1 games, like the really good ones.
It's nuts, right?
That's crazy. Like get Final Fantasy Tactics and all those other things on there. That'd be killer.
You could get Grand Theft Auto on a little device like that. You could really have a good time. And then they don't have to be, they can go on from the PlayStation 1.
Right.
So
once you got people going to that store, then you start. That's pretty cool.
All right, so the next story on the news docket for this week. Now, this is early days stuff, but it's exciting, and I want to talk on it. So this is one of these things that maybe we talk about right now that we don't even see anything for from like 2 years.
Okay.
So early days stuff.
I'm ready to not get something.
But
lay it on me. Tell me what I am not going to be able to use today.
The big boy distributions got together at a conference and started talking the talk necessary to make a unified app store or application installation and distribution system for all the distros.
Okay.
So now this is, like I said, just early stuff, nothing major official yet, but here's basically the gist. For the last 3 days, and this is coming from a poster over on the Fedora mailing list, for the last 3 days, I attended a conference on application installing in Germany, hosted by Vincent Utz and the other guys from SUSE.
Nice.
There were experts sent from Fedora, Ubuntu, Debian, SUSE, and Mandriva. From Fedora, both Florian and I attended.
Nice.
And they go on to talk about how they were defining some APIs that they could share and use across, and some interchange formats, and some basic UI shared principles that they all should follow, with specific mention that the Ubuntu Software Center looks nice, and that they want to have this unified API possibly in the future, maybe for an app store, maybe just to distribute software. They said with the specific intention of, and I like this line, making installing and removing software on Linux suck less.
That is awesome.
Yeah.
That is great.
Isn't that great news?
Yeah.
So they said they have lots of progress and people are willing to help solve this common problem. That's what they walked away. And he said that the main thing is that he felt like the right people from those distributions and groups were at this conference. So it wasn't like, the icon theme guy was there talking about a software API.
Right. They had the right people.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
That's really
I love
news.
That.
And this is the kind of internal stuff that as open source users and Linux users that we get insight to that, I'm sure Microsoft has lengthy discussions about creating some sort of Microsoft app store.
Oh, sure, yeah.
But none of that is exposed to us.
No.
And there's people out there in the future that use those products that will be impacted by those decisions.
I love it. I would love to see something like the Ubuntu Software Center with the store built in.
Yeah.
Across all platforms. That would be great for me.
Well, even if it was just the open source versions of so think about the Ubuntu Software Center. What if its store was driven and managed by Canonical, the store section?
Sure.
But the software sources section, this is 5 years down the road, the software sources section could be from this open API platform. I mean, that would just be
phenomenal.
Yeah. That could be really cool. So I'm excited about that. It's a story I'm going to keep an eye on, and I will put a link to the full mailing thread in the show notes if you want to read more about that.
That's
yourself.
Very cool. That's very, very cool.
All right, Brian. Well, that's all the news for this week.
All right. We need to talk about KDE for a little bit because it's actually been a little while since we've really dived in.
took a swam.
Swammed. Paddled around in the KDE pool. So KDE 4.6 just came out this week.
Yeah, dude.
And it's actually quite cool. But I want to talk about kind of what it is they're doing a little bit here, because I want everyone to have a little backstory. Mm-hmm. We are going to review it.
Yeah.
But I think that everyone needs to have a little bit of a
context?
Understanding here. So now if you go over to KDE.org, you can take a look, and you know, they got this little elegant thing going on, and you know, they tell you to experience freedom, which I want to do.
Ooh, I love
it. I love freedom. People in Egypt want freedom.
Yeah.
They're not getting it. They're not getting their internet freedom. That's my only commentary for the day. So they came out with 4.6, and they've been pretty good since 4.0 came out about kind of evolutionary updates.
Yeah.
You know, when 4.0 hit,
that was we're putting our flagpole in. We've got to make our call and just get this product
out. Whole new platform, really. Yeah. You know, this is KD4 is not like anything you've seen before.
Right.
And, you know, they have the plasma widgets and they had everything else going on. And man, was it rough. It was really rough. We reviewed it and both of us looked at it and said, this looks cool.
We
this
can see has where they're cool going. Stuff.
And I love being able to rotate my widgets in a circle, but I'm not going to use it.
Right.
Because as a day-to-day system, 4.0 just wasn't there.
I stayed with GNOME.
And 4.1 came. And 4.2 came. And you can see where this is going numerically. It got better each time. Better and better and better. Then around 4.4, we looked at it and we're like, okay, you can actually use this
now.
You can stick with this.
Yeah.
4.5 came. It was even better. So now 4.6 is here. Now, with that track record of it getting better every time, you got kind of high expectations. You're looking at that. You're like, this really got to be rocking, you know?
Yeah.
This can't take any steps back. This can't be a one step forward, two steps back system.
Right.
4.6 has got to be amazing.
Right.
And it is.
Oh, I thought you were going for a twist.
Nope.
It's
quite awesome. Now, I want to walk through a couple of things. I'm going to walk through what they've talked about as the big top things. And then I'm going to talk about some other things.
Yeah. I got it loaded here, too, and I'm going to poke around at a few things,
too. So Chris has got it loaded up over here. Now, one of the things I want to point out. Now, Chris, load up a screen and do some stuff with it.
I'm going to load up a screen and do some stuff.
Now, here's Dolphin. Here's your standard file browser, which I've given a lot of love to Dolphin before. I like Dolphin. It's a great file browser. They've done an awesome job with it. Lots of power, really well designed, good look and feel. I really like it a lot.
Yeah.
But here's what's some great stuff. Now, Chris is running under VMware right now.
Mm-hmm.
Compositing is working great.
It is, yeah.
And it is fast, and it is glorious. It is working phenomenally well. Now, sure, we've seen this in software before, but this is just working really well.
Mm-hmm.
So I've got to give them a little hat trick to that. That's good stuff. Yeah.
And you know, there's also a lot of things that they touch on, and they obviously try to drive. You know, elegantly yours is there. That's kind of catchy too, because you know it's free and it's open source and all that. But those kind of things do give it sort of an elegant kind of
feel. It does. It gives it that polish that a system needs. So, I know, come on. Compositing and, you know, a couple of, whiz-bang looky features, that's not really what makes it. You know,
and
it's nice. It's nice to have. I like it. And it makes me want to give them a high five. But we got to move on to some of the other things that are a little more nerdy here.
Yeah.
So I want to talk about Dolphin for a minute.
Yeah.
Now, at first glance, the new version of Dolphin, which they tout as this big new release, doesn't seem all that new. In fact, it seems exactly like what you had before.
Sure.
Until you get really nerdy about it and you dive in here. Now KDE is moving away from SVN for their source code repository to Git.
Yeah.
You know, you can have whatever feelings you want about various types of source control. In fact, most of you probably don't even use types of source because you're not doing this sort of work. But what's cool is if you are a developer, now Dolphin has a Git plugin. So you can actually manage your Git repositories.
Are they calling this faceted browsing? Is that what they mean? Where it's faceted as you can facet in a new functionality? Is that what they're kind of going for there?
I've been having a hard time figuring out what faceted browsing
means. Because I know, either that or they have a new, see they have this
the column
new.
View.
They have this new view and, okay. I think that might, that's what it
multi-faceted browsing. Yeah.
Oh, faceted. Okay.
Faceted. Yeah.
So they have plugins for SVN, so you can just
and Git.
Oh.
So now that's the cool thing. So if
you
can
browse like
Git,
a file system,
right? So now you can set up, and this is what's kind of cool, I think. So, like I use Dropbox at home. Now, what I also have is a home server.
Right.
Running Bazaar and running SVN and running Git. Now, why do I have a whole lot of different things? Because
you do.
You know, we have a lot of different source code repositories we work with. And we need it. But what's cool here is you can really create your own file system backup system that actually has file versioning through Git using something like the Git plugin that Dolphin has. Yeah. And it makes it super
and then,
simple.
Are you saying
and it works
store
great.
It in your Dropbox?
Then it's not in your Dropbox, on your home server. Mm. So like I have a home server with all of that, and then I have a script that syncs it to my Dropbox.
Okay.
So then I always have my latest and greatest in my Dropbox. Yeah. But if I want to say, you know what, I really want to go back to a previous version, not just of source control, of open office documents with different versions.
Right.
In the past, every time I check it in, I've got a new version in there.
That's cool.
So I can do that, and I can browse all of that right from Dolphin.
I like that.
Which is really, really nice.
Yeah.
Now they've got a lot of other improvements. I'm going to actually jump past most of that.
Okay.
All right. So,
boy, I'd like to give a mention to the new picture viewer.
Oh, you want to talk about Gwen View?
Yeah, it is nuts. It can export to just about everything.
It's not just Gwen View. It's KDE, dude.
It's the back end.
Scroll down. KSnapshot has some of the same thing.
It's the back end. See, this is the thing. They've made improvements to their back end phone-on system and their back end video stuff, including the switch over for hardware support from HAL to UDEV, and they're dropping support for Zine now, but you can go for VLC for your audio backend, or you can use GStreamer.
Very, very cool. Now, just to run through this, because this is ridiculous. So, taking a snapshot or using the standard picture viewer, here's some things you can export to. Now, I know a simple feature like exporting to, say, Flickr or something, that's not that big of a deal.
It's nice, though.
However, here's just the list. Take a snapshot, you can send it to GIMP, GwenView, Krita and Ocular, all the various KDE apps, sure. Export it to your iPod. Print it. Zoomer, Flickr, SmugMug, sending it over to a remote computer. Exporting
export
to a Flash file. Export to Picasa Web. Create an HTML thing. Export to Gallery. So if you have a gallery setup, which is what I use for my personal gallery on your website. Export to Facebook. Send to your instant messaging contacts. It actually lists all of your contacts.
Yeah, you go into that option and then it's...
Send to this guy. So literally, Chris can be online.
The integration is
logged on to Instant AIM, let's say, and I'm in AIM. Yeah. We can go in, boom, and say, screenshot, Chris, look what I just did. And, it's got a picture of, a dancing donkey or something.
Lemon
screenshot,
party.
Send to Chris. Boom, sends it to him.
I
don't have to go to multiple apps. It's all right there.
KDE's
That's
always
cool.
had the integration down really well comparatively to probably the GNOME side of things. But now it's even more nuts. But there's also been some moves in KDE 4.6, I think, that you could point to as obvious indications that they're developing for the Migo platform in mind.
So here's the thing. So KDE is all based on Qt, or Qt, or however you want to say it. So that's awesome, right? So that's cool. Obviously, it's on every platform. That's the cool thing about Qt.
Yeah.
Powered by the power of the Nokia masters. So Marble is a mapping application. It is a routing, mapping, driving, charting type application.
Yeah.
It's like, whatever people use. What do you use for that, Chris?
Usually Google Earth.
Google Earth or Google Maps or something. Yeah, it's one of those kind of things. So here's the thing. Throw up the screenshot here.
Boom!
All right, see in the background here? That's kind of a desktop version. So you got directions, turn left at this place, and here's your map, and here's how I route it and all that. Scroll down a little bit. Same app running on Migo.
Yes. Now, that's interesting, isn't it?
Very interesting. Basically, they just customize the UI a little bit, resize it, boom, uses all the guts, still using Qt, totally awesome. And now, that's not necessarily... Now, this simple app, Marble, is a great turn-by-turn direction app. That's obviously not really the full KDE experience on your handheld or anything, but it's cool to see all the work that's being done on these desktop apps.
Yeah, you're writing it for KDE or Migo.
Going over to all these multiple platforms.
Which makes you realize maybe Migo could have a sudden burst of applications fairly easily.
Yep.
And I think the other thing that it points to is a clear indication that Qt might just end up pulling ahead of GTK. Maybe you could argue it has. Just look at Ubuntu saying, hey, we're going with Unity, and we're including Qt.
Yeah.
They're almost saying...
This has real significant value.
They're almost saying we're betting on the Qt horse, but we don't want to bet on the KDE horse side of it either. You know what I mean? Like,
I don't know about that. I think... you can have one without the other, and you can have both, no problem.
Yeah, I know, exactly.
There's no issue there.
That's what I'm saying, is it seems like they're saying Unity is the UI we want to go with. Qt is going to be the a library available for you. But you look at this stuff, and you can see why they want to include it.
Yeah.
You can see the power of it. In KDE 4.6, is looking great.
Really fantastic. There's a couple of kind of cool things I want to call out. Another rather nerdy thing is something called K-Game Renderer, which is literally just an API set that is just there for, handling game graphics rendering.
That's really nice.
And the cool thing is it's as they put it, unifies theming across games. So it gives me, and I quote here, a more consistent, smooth look and feel. About a dozen KDE games have been ported to this new architecture, reducing memory usage and allowing them to take advantage of multi-core processors. Awesome.
Awesome.
Awesome. Now, I'm not a big fan of creating brand new frameworks and brand new libraries. And I've actually dogged the KDE guys on this before.
Yeah.
But in cases where it does make sense, I like it. This is great. This is good. This is unifying everything under a common API set. That means if someone goes and makes a cool game, such as, you know, Academy or Kajang, their Mahjong game, or these other things, that gives them a lot of skills that they can continue to reuse that hopefully on Ubuntu and everywhere else.
And
as
if that same thing was moved over to Mego, you'd be able to maybe use that on Mego. Now, I wanted to say, cool. As a laptop user here, I got it on a laptop here, and what they've done improvement-wise for laptops, and I don't have any... I've only been running this for literally a day or two. Oh. 2 days. So I don't know if this is actually true or not, but one of the things they touch on is they say, for one, a lot of code improvements, a lot of code cleanup, and a lot of things to make memory usage a lot smaller, a lot tighter. But another thing they talk a lot about is... I don't want to call it the wrong thing. Let me see if I can find it here. They changed it from K-Power, and they're moving on to a new power management system.
UPower.
They're using UPower as the back end,
yep.
And they have there's a new power management UI wrapped around it, and they're switching from something else. I don't want to say the wrong thing, so I'm just going to skip it. But the new power management system is supposed to have
that's how we handle our journalistic integrity. Instead of just being wrong, we'll say that something exists,
and I don't want to
find it out for yourself.
Yeah, exactly. Go look it up. But the part that I do like is, you know how we've said a lot of times, well, Fedora says that this kernel checks the hardware a lot less, your battery life should be a lot better, right? We said that a lot, and we're always like, why do we keep seeing that but never seem to actually see it? Well, the software and the UI and all that stuff that communicates with that has to kind of be aware of that too.
Yeah, everything has to work together.
And they've made those fixes now in KDE 4.6 to make that a more efficient system. So you're... theoretically, we'll see, but the battery life on mobile should be a little more improved. And you figure if they've made the code a little faster, a little tighter, then it's gonna take less processor time, and that's gonna use less battery too,
which is awesome. Now on that line,
yeah,
the mobile side of things.
Yeah, and this is their work. They have a couple of and this is my complaint with KDE, is I sometimes have a hard time wrapping my brain around this stuff. But they have workspaces like your traditional desktop.
Yes.
And then they're going to have a workspace that's designed for netbooks. They have
it. Right. They've got it. So basically what they've got is it's a low profile one. So it's KDE trimmed down a little bit.
Yeah.
So it's, you know, a little lighter in the memory, a little less CPU usage. So it's going to be able to be a little bit more peppy, but still have all the guts that you normally really need on a mobile workspace.
They call it the Plasma Netbook Workspace.
Which is cool.
Yeah, and it has a more smaller screen-friendly layout, and including...
it looks nice.
And, well, see, this is where the widgets kind of work, right? On a netbook, you could kind of see some more practicality to some of these KDE widgets, right?
Mm-hmm. So widgets suddenly become more interesting applications on a netbook or a tablet
possibly
style thing.
I'm not sure. They might be
now,
useless, but...
a couple of things based on that. Take a little sidebar into the widget land. One of the cool new things is QML. So QML is the Qt's kind of XML-ish declarative language.
We talked about it
a long time ago.
Like 5 months ago on Linux Action Show.
So it's available right now in the KDE 4.6. It's basically an easy way to write most of your widgets in kind of an XML-y declarative language.
Right, I remember.
Which is kind of nice.
Yeah.
It looks very, very cool. I like it. It's kind of the recommended path to go. Going forward, and
use that QML, you get the advantage of all the other stuff they do, like the audio backend stuff and the video stuff, right? You can kind of take advantage.
You're
of the
using their blessed,
that makes sense,
tool chain.
Yeah.
All right, so that's very cool. Now coming back to the mobile side of things, I was struck by the netbook side of things at how, from a look and feel standpoint, how well it would work. Throw up that screenshot again you had with the netbook with the little the widgets flying up. Scroll down that page. Use your other mouse.
Yeah, I know. I got too many mice.
You're using too many mice.
I got too many mice, Brian.
That guy. Scroll down a little further. There you go. This guy right here. At how well that would work on a touchscreen interface or on a tablet. So I've got my little Lenovo tablet, and I love her. I love my Lenovo tablet. You know, I run pretty much, I rotate through my OSs on it because I'm never quite 100% thrilled. Ubuntu does a really good job of having good touch experience out of the gate. Yep. I've thrown Windows 7 on there a couple of times because, you know, they do a couple of cool things with their touch gestures. Okay. I want to play with them.
Okay.
I threw Qt 4. Or KDE 4.6 on here, and I was not happy with the touch experience.
Really?
The sizing of the controls and the windows. If you look at it...
Well, I was just looking... So I have the screen here.
It does not lend itself well at all to a touch experience.
So the widgets seem like they make good sense, but if you want to add a widget, you either have to right-click or go up in this corner.
That corner works well.
I could see that, and I could see, like, adding here, I like this. There's a dock that comes up.
So you get to a certain point through the touchscreen, even though I didn't have multi-touch set up. I only had single touch. But still, you know, that's a good start. And I was able to add new widgets, and that was no problem. Move them around is fine. However, interacting with the standard UI elements, the size of them just really didn't work for my fingers.
I could see, like, definitely in the menu system, right?
It got a little funky. So that was my only real complaint there, was that it did not work great for a touch screen. Now, on a desktop, it works awesome. On a desktop, mouse, if you have a mouse or a trackball, it works great.
Yeah.
I would love to see some optimizations for touch screen. And I know maybe that's not their primary purpose right now.
Well, I don't know, man. I think they're putting that work into the stuff they're going to put out on Ego.
I think so. You know, with having the mobile platform stuff that they've got in there, it obviously is moving towards, you know, mobile devices, tablets, and all that sort of thing. So I would really like to see that. That's kind of why
completely distracted by this bouncy ball widget on Kate. There we go.
You had to kill it. I was doing it too. I was like, the ball went over there, and then it bounced off the side.
But the point is,
then the little toolbar was up, and was watching that move with it.
That
was
cool. Describe that as a widget that is completely pointless. Any closing thoughts on KDE?
So here's the thing, though.
Okay. Oh, there's
now,
a thing. Uh-oh.
Now there's been a lot of performance improvements in the compositing, obviously in KWin, their window manager. So that's been better and better and better. There's a lot more hardware acceleration going on than there used to be. So if you've got OpenGL and 3D hardware acceleration, it's not being taken advantage of by everything, by all the apps, by a lot. There's a lot of things happening in that front, and that's looking really great. I love that. Now, the question is, all of these updates that are going on, and we didn't even dive into the apps, like the updated applications that KDE has, all the KOffice stuff, are honestly spectacular. Not all of them are the best thing ever, but some of them are damned close.
Really good.
Like I have a really hard time, moving away from KOffice and going back to OpenOffice.
Oh, LibreOffice too. Even LibreOffice out now.
And I love Open and LibreOffice, but
there's a polish.
But KOffice is so good.
I totally
agree.
So
very good with a few rough spots maybe, but it's just really good.
And when you use them all together, the way all the other KDE apps integrate so well, it's
phenomenal.
It's
absolutely phenomenal, especially like with the amount of stuff you can import and export, like for graphics formats and document formats. It's just ridiculous.
I think I'm honestly done with GNOME.
Are you?
I think I'm done with GNOME. I'm looking at GNOME 3 and I'm waiting to see where that goes. I don't know exactly, but KDE 4.6 kind of seems like all the stuff that they set up that they were telling us is going to be good is now, it's there now, and now let's see what we get. And I'm ready to switch over and see how it works. There's enough things. I'm going to try it for a couple more days before I make my final decision. I got to make my final decision.
Here's the thing that I actually come up against.
Go for it.
I don't really like Amarok player.
Yeah.
So no, I mean it's a real thing. So like I like Banshee a lot.
I know, and I like Tomboy.
Now there are some good
Conduit
stuff like that. Conduit's great. Now there's some great GNOME apps, but that's not to say that you can't have those
Pigeon,
apps.
Gedit. I like all those
Empathy.
Apps. I like all of those apps.
They're great apps, but that's I don't like moving to one and not having the other. Don't like that I can go over and I have
Here's
Empathy
thing,
and Gwibber over on the GNOME side.
Have you ran some GNOME apps? KDE 4.6 theme, and if you can,
it handles it well.
And you can apply the same theme, there's a similar theme you can apply to GTK. They look really good. Yeah.
The only problem is the integration stuff. Like with, when you have the K apps, they integrate so well with
each
other.
And then you open up a GTK app and it's open dialogue, just doesn't fit.
Right.
It doesn't have the same favorites. And
it's like when Ubuntu, 10.10 came out and they had, the me menu with all of your messaging and your social networking stuff all in one spot integrated together. We're like, you know what? That's really damn slick. And KDE's got a lot of that same stuff going on. I hate to start mismatching the apps and not have
that.
And miss
That's
out on
switched.
That awesome experience.
That's why I haven't switched right there, because I want the full integration. And I think we're there.
I think so too. Now, I'm going to give it a little more time. So I've got this running on my tablet at home, on my little Lenovo netbook tablet doodad. Performance has been great. Integration's been great. There's a few things I miss from the GNOME side, but not too many. So I'm going to keep going with that. Now, I've been running this mostly on OpenSUSE with KDE 4.6.
I had a butt of a time getting to work on OpenSUSE. It installed, but then a bunch of the stuff, like the theming engine quit, and I had constant crashes.
No good.
So literally, like, I ran for the first half day on OpenSUSE, and I gave up. I switched over when I read down to the bottom of the KDE page, and they said, well, here's the PPA to have it working in Kubuntu. And I thought, well... Oh, right. Yeah, and so I followed that. And it was
I tried that at work, too.
Yeah, it's great. Real easy.
And but our OpenSUSE right now with KDE 4.6, I don't know. I think, is this the way I'm going to go? Probably not. I still have the problem where I make software for a living.
And you use GTK?
Most Linux desktop users use GNOME and GTK.
Is that going to change over time?
Maybe. Maybe. So that's where I'm looking at. I'm like, which direction is it heading? And I would like to be able to have, the software I make available, native for both.
Oh,
even though there's not a whole lot of benefit to that, it's still kind of cool.
Yep.
So that's the thing, is I have to use a GNOME-based system so I can test it all out. So I always have to have at least one GNOME-based system
that's
around.
That's a tough call.
But I'm really digging KDE 4.6.
Me too.
The team's done a great job. Honestly, this is some of the best of the open source experience.
And this,
has to offer
honestly,
right now.
Brian... We're using this before one of the big distros gets their hands on it.
This is just, this is installed.
These are the
but
packages.
Not supported on those distros.
So when this sucker gets polished up, see, this is me, I'm polishing the side of KDE.
Yeah, I'm not sure what you're doing there. Nope. I don't see what you're doing.
Yeah.
I really don't.
Brian?
I don't see what you're doing. Are you changing gears in a truck?
I was like, this is the side and I'm buffing.
Oh, you mean like a wax on, wax off sort of thing?
Go,
there you go. If you did this, I know what you're talking about.
But
what does that even mean, dude? I don't know what that is a symbol for. If you're listening to it and not watching the show, you missed out right there. Because Chris just made up a whole new hand gesture that no one's ever done before.
I like
that.
It
means nothing.
That's the KDE 4.6 hand gesture, Brian.
It's polishing KDE 4 while changing into reverse on my truck. I think that's what he was doing. Anyway. Do I recommend? I highly, highly, if you have not run, especially if you haven't run KDE since like 4.4 or earlier.
Oh my God, I was going to say this.
Install this.
I got an email from a listener because I was talking in the chat room. Hey, yeah, we're checking out KDE 4.6 coming up this week on LAS. And I got an email from that guy. He's like, hey, I was lurking in the chat room. I'm like, okay. I still use KDE 3. And I'd really like to hear your thoughts after you use this, if you think it's ready, to switch.
If you're using KDE 3,
oh my gosh,
you are wrong.
Yeah.
Here's how it is. KDE 3 is great. It's very configurable. If you've been using it for a while, you know it inside and out. That's awesome.
Yeah, that's
but
the only
dead,
benefit,
guys.
But it is so
it is,
time to move on.
It's been dead for years now. And at this point, KDE 4.6 is great.
Yeah.
It is great.
It's elegant. It's elegant.
And again, if you used any KDE, KDE 3.x or KDE 4.0 through, say, 4.3, 4.4, and that was the last one you've used, if you haven't tried 4.5 or 4.6, try 4.6 because they've done so much polishing.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's gotten so much better that it really deserves a second look. Now, even if you just throw it in, VirtualBox or VMware, just give it a try that way. But I'm going to tell you this straight. Nothing beats the experience of running it on native hardware with OpenGL supported.
Sure, of course.
It runs so butter smooth, so silky smooth, creamy, just creamy, like
sounds
a delicious
tasty,
milkshake. This is what it tastes like. It's like a delicious...
Wait, Brian.
Or, what?
Can we go get milkshakes?
That sounds really good. Or a malt. Dude, have you like a root beer malt?
There's a malt.
Chocolate
there's a malt place
malt.
down the street down there. Let's go get them.
So go try it out, even if you're not going to stick with it, because honestly... What you see happening with, say, the GNOME shell with GNOME 3, try this out. I recommend the GNOME guys really spend a few days, spend a week, GNOME guys, in KDE 4.6. I'm not saying you need to make GNOME shell look like KDE 4.6. What I am saying is there are some great ideas here. They've done some great amount of polish. They've tackled some of the same issues you guys are trying to tackle. And they've done a great job on it. And honestly, there is room for improvement. So maybe you guys can improve on it. But try it out. Live in it. Really give it a go. But stop using KDE 3. Move to KDE 4.6. There will be a growing pain, a transition pain for you if you're a main KDE user. But do it. Do it now before it gets to it.
Here's my closing thoughts on KDE 4.6. I don't know if I said it much publicly when they first launched KDE 4 and KDE 4.1, etc. I felt like the guys were spending the KDE project, the guys and gals, were spending too much time building amazing, awesome infrastructure.
Yeah.
Because it's fun to build.
It is.
And I feel like now we're truly seeing some of that infrastructure still being worked on. There's some new infrastructure introduced in KDE 4.6, which not everyone agrees with. But for the most part, we're starting to see some of the real benefits being reaped from that work.
Now, in my opinion, I'm
happy.
In my opinion, I'm still seeing a little bit too much movement in terms of like the underlying frameworks. I wish that would slow down
and
just a little for a while.
It's not 100% yet, to be honest with you. Even just while demoing it here, I had some application crashes.
Yes.
So I'm really excited once a distribution really ships this sucker wrapped up, you know, when OpenSUSE ships with it or Fedora 15 or Ubuntu, whatever you want to make it, man, whatever it is, I think it's going to be great.
What was the one you said between OpenSUSE and Ubuntu?
I was going to say Mandrake Mandriva, whatever it is.
Oh.
Oh, Fedora?
A what?
A Fedora, Brian.
Oh, you mean Red Hat? I don't think anyone's used that in many years.
No, you might have heard about Fedora. They're the guys that got their service hacked last week.
You mean Fedora Core?
Yeah, Fedora.
Oh.
No, they're the project.
Yeah, I don't know.
I don't know.
All right, but seriously, try this out. It's a great system. Am I going to switch to it? Probably like half time on at least one machine.
Oh, now, really? I'm up for consideration. I think
that's a big jump for me.
Yeah, boy.
I mean, realistically, that's
so
a big jump.
There's so
because
many
things I need to spend time in GNOME.
It might be easier for me. I started on KDE.
Yeah.
I started on KDE, so it might be easier for me.
I was a GNOME guy.
Yeah.
I was always a GNOME guy.
All right, Brian.
But yeah,
we got to wrap this thing up.
If I had to give it a star rating, this is a 4 out of 4 stars. I mean, this is a stellar release. This is not just, I mean, it's evolutionary. It's not whole new reinvention. So much polish, so many cool new toys. Gotta love it. And that brings us to the end of this week's amazing broadcast. Now, I just want to point something out to everybody.
All right.
That this was the best Linux show ever made.
Probably. I mean, it's the latest episode.
What are we at here? Season 15, episode 4?
Yes, sir.
Best thing ever. Not just our best ever. Best thing ever.
Oh, that's good. I'm glad I was part of that.
Best thing that ever was on video.
Was that because...
with Linux in it.
Can I ask you, was that because I announced to folks today that we have jupiterbroadcasting.com/listen for the live audio stream?
I think that's part of it.
I mean, just think folks could listen in their car on the way to work or on the way home. Just plug it in and stream.
It's phenomenal.
That's pretty cool.
It changes everything.
That might have made it the best episode ever.
That might have made it. We talked about KDE 4.6 and that was awesome.
Probably.
We talked about having units on your desk.
16-core ARM servers.
Dude, think about this. 4 1U rack units with 16 cores. How many cores is
that's
that?
That's like 95 cores.
Dude, that's 127 cores.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Stop mathing me right now.
Yeah, I just screwed you up in there.
This is not the math action show.
All right, so what I'm saying is, good job watching, because you caught the best thing ever. So if you want to get a hold of us, we're over on Facebook if you like to have your privacy violated.
Yeah.
Over at facebook.com/JupiterBroadcasting. We're on Twitter.
If you want to get spammed.
Twitter.com/BrianLundDuke, my whole name, or Chris LAS.
Yeah,
he even has Linux Action Show in his name. That's dedication.
Hardcore.
That's love. That's the man with the
plan. You know what? If you want to know when we do all of this stuff live or any other show, go over to JupiterBroadcasting.com/calendar. Because all of our stuff is posted over there. It's in Pacific, but there's a link to convert it to your local time zone.
Man, I should really look at that so then I would know when we're recording the shows. Luckily, it's the same time every week. Sundays at 10 a.m. Pacific time. Now, except for next week.
Oh, that's true.
Now, next week, what's going to happen? We don't know. I'm having a child. I got a kid. She's coming out. She's
I was thinking I might like do a behind the scenes tour, like a 5-minute thing,
and let everybody
know how you're doing, so that way people just know.
Yeah.
And then I'll put that out and just remind everybody.
Maybe I can send along a picture. You can throw a little picture of the new kid.
Cool.
Yeah.
So maybe something like that. No show.
Throw a little picture. Throw a picture of your kids. My kid.
Cute.
This is the little Jupiter Broadcasting kid show.
That's cute.
There we go.
And you know what else too? And this will be a perfect opportunity. Is if you recall a few episodes back, Alan came on. And we talked about BSD.
Yeah.
He's got a BSD like tricks and tips segment that he recorded that didn't make it into that episode I'll put in that.
Nice.
So folks will get that too.
Wanted to throw a little note out to a lot of folks because I've been getting a lot of questions on this. So Now, I'm not going to use this as a pimping myself time. This is purely public service announcement.
Okay.
All right. So, Lumination Software Creator 3.0 came out a few weeks back. It was really, really cool. Yada, yada, yada. It's amazing. Whatever. You should probably buy it. But the big thing is we also have Illumination available through the Ubuntu Software Center. We're like the seventh app available
That's
in there.
Awesome.
So, we're their early adopter. We haven't been able to update Illumination to the latest version in the Software Creator. We've finally got that all worked out.
Oh,
so
good.
If you've bought it through the Ubuntu Software Center, don't worry. By the time you watch this, if you're watching it probably like midweek, by like Monday, Tuesday, you'll have a brand new, healthy, amazing version with sparkles on it through the Ubuntu Software Center.
So there's your public service announcement.
So I just wanted to let everyone know because I've gotten a lot of emails about that.
People are using it.
Wait a minute. You got a new version out. I bought it through the Canonical's store there, and I don't have a new version.
Early days, those kinds of things got to be
worked
out.
It's okay. We're working the kinks out.
Yeah.
But it's actually really cool how they set it up.
Oh, yeah?
Because they set up basically, so I have my own PPA. So there's
that
my own custom repository for Illumination.
Okay.
Hosted on Canonical servers.
That's a good way to do
but
it.
They were kind of working out the kinks in the process for how I update that PPA.
Ah, gotcha.
Yeah. So so we were working that out. But I gotta give a hats off. The folks at Canonical, so helpful.
Yeah.
Like good. Thursday late in the day,
they want to work it out.
I got this email.
Yeah.
I wish I could show you the whole email. It was like 4 pages long with detailed instructions. Oh, if this goes wrong, this might go wrong. Then you'll do these sets of instructions. Like it was every
early
possible
days,
thing.
Man. Yeah. Early days. But
anyway,
cool.
they're doing great. I just wanted to give a little hats off to them on that one. And then also, if you guys are using Ubuntu or using SUSE. And using the Illumination Software Creation Station, the award-winning distribution of Linux that uses Illumination Software Creator, that will be updated to a whole new version as well pretty soon.
Cool.
So I just wanted to throw that out there because those are amazing things.
It could be out there, so why not?
Those are Linux-powered amazing things.
I like that.
We change things here at the Linux Action
Show.
And that's one of the ways we do it.
All right, everyone.
The forum, JupiterColony.com. Oh, yeah. You should go there. We talk there sometimes.
There's a Linux Action Show thread in there. Lots of good discussions.
It's great.
And some Android users are joining in there, and they're recommending different apps to each other and stuff like that.
Come on, forums.
And
how old school is that, right?
You know what? If you check the show notes for the Linux Action Show, in there I put a link to Mad Joe's list, and he's been keeping a list on AppBrain of every Android app I've ever picked.
Wow.
I swear, these apps are good apps. If you got a new Android phone,
you should just go and download all those.
I don't know why you wouldn't.
Yeah.
And honestly, now sometimes when I've wiped my phone and I've put a new ROM on here, I'll go to Mad Joe's list and be like, bop, bop,
that's
bop,
awesome,
bop,
man. Yeah. I give it till next Monday until Lifehacker randomly posts a list of all the top apps, and it's exactly that list.
Or if I was him, I'd just start
just
picking off the list over time. You know,
just haven't they already been doing that?
Oh, maybe.
Just kidding, Lifehacker.
Oh, we kid.
What else? What else we got?
Wait a minute.
Because I'm not going to be here next week.
Yeah.
If you get bored,
okay.
Let's say next Sunday you're bored. You want to play some games. You want to chat with some people.
Yeah.
Why not go over to lunduke.com? Go to the Lunduk, House of Lunduk BBS.
Tell them that into that.
The only Linux-powered BBS running on an Asus EEE 700 netbook that you can hop on into and play trade.
You don't even need
open
GL acceleration to play those games.
You don't need to.
No way.
You can do it from the terminal. You can just tell that on into bbs.lunduk.com.
And actually, you know, we haven't mentioned it, but if you're a Minecraft player, because, you know, why haven't we talked about Minecraft?
No, wait a minute. Oh, I should say. We've crested like the 3,500 some odd calls to the BBS since it launched like 2.5 months ago. It's huge.
If you're a big Minecraft player, head over to JupiterColony.com and there's a Minecraft forum in there. There is a lot of people playing Minecraft around Jupiter Broadcasting now. And we have public servers set up, so if you want to play multiplayer. And that, in my opinion, is the sweetest way to play Minecraft. Otherwise,
now, hold on a second. Have we shown this picture?
I don't know. What picture is it?
Hold on.
Which one are you thinking, dude?
Dude, no. It's this sucker here.
Oh, this was made in Minecraft, yeah.
So this was made on our Minecraft server.
Boy, that's not your screen. That's your screen.
That's my screen. This is a picture. I don't know if any of you guys have seen this, but there was a face I made probably about 2 years ago. And it was, I made this dorky face.
On the show.
On the show. And then what happened was everyone decided to go ahead and modify it. Here, I'll show you a whole bunch here. We put up pictures of me photoshopped onto every possible way that they could come up with.
But come on, somebody made your face in Minecraft, and it's huge,
and,
Brian.
And it's in Minecraft.
It is.
And that, it's huge.
To give you a scale, that is a shot of the entire world zoomed in on your face.
And it is ginormous. If you look at the entire world, and I don't have a screenshot here, there's a picture over in the forum, jupitercolin.com, if you want it. But it is gigantic. Like, you can see my head from space with my little stupid dorky look and my headphones
on. It's great. So, the chat room's loving that.
So,
dude.
Minecraft, it's good stuff. You gotta love it. By the way, if anyone wants to put my head on things, that's totally great.
Yeah, go.
I love that.
You can find those pictures over at facebook.com/JupiterBroadcasting.
Yeah, there's a photo album. I think it's called Brian's Head Used Properly. Yeah.
All right, everyone. Well, thanks so much for tuning into this week's episode of the Linux Action Show. And we'll see you with a whole big show in a couple of weeks.
Most likely.